And this is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. A payday loan, also called a payday advance, is a small, short-term, unsecured loan, regardless of whether repayment of a loan is linked to a borrower's paycheck or not. And to prevent usury, the unreasonable and excessive rate of interest, some states have limits on the annual percentage rate, the APR, that any lender, including a payday lender, can charge. Some jurisdictions outlaw payday lending entirely, and some have very few restrictions on payday lending, like Texas. Pretty much it's the Wild West here. Anything goes for payday lending. But payday loans carry a substantial risk to the lender. They have a net default rate of about 6%, and according to one study, defaults cost payday lenders about a quarter of their annual revenue, but they are trying to fix that. In Texas, the lenders are finding ways to make people pay, and if they don't break their legs or their thumbs, but they have found ways to throw them in jail. In the recent legislative session, some Texas lawmakers tried to reform the payday loan industry, but they came up short. Here's State Senator John Corona explaining on a recent previous Source program why corralling the payday loan industry is so important.
If we don't pass reform this session, this industry will be substantially wealthier 2 years from now when we meet again than it is today. And they won't have four basic products that they're offering consumers in this state, which we're trying to regulate. They'll have six to eight. If you look at what they've done elsewhere around the country, they're very prolific in terms of developing additional products and clever ways to market them. And so the window is now, and I really do worry 2 years from now whether or not this particular industry will have grown so politically powerful that it will have not only control of the legislature, which to some extent it does today, right now, but it'll also have complete control of state government here in Texas.
And that was State Senator John Corona on the April 22nd version of The Source. But with me today, we're going to continue our conversation about payday lending in Texas. We have Forrest Wilder. He's with the Texas Observer. He's got an article in the July issue of the Texas Observer talking about how payday lenders are relying on law enforcement to enforce the loans. And also Paul Keel, he's a reporter for ProPublica. He's written a series about payday loans called Debt Incorporated. Welcome to The Source.
Great to be here.
So, but before I get to you guys, I have a caller on the line already, and I want to get her on the air ASAP before we lose her, Cordy, and because she wants to talk about her story about taking out a payday loan. Cordy, are you there? Cordy, you're on the air.
Yes, I am here. Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Okay, go ahead. Tell us your story.
Yes, I live here in San Antonio, Texas, and I'm not sure if we can use the actual company's names that we took the loans out from. So anyways, I took out a loan for about $600, and what they want me to pay back is $815. And they want it back in 2 weeks. It's a short-term payday loan. They expect you to pay it back your next check. If you can't, they want you to pay in 2 weeks. They want you to pay $164 to extend your payoff period, and that does not come off of whatever amount is due. That is the price you pay to extend your loan for two more weeks. And they still want the full $815, you know, the next go around. So just to let y'all know.
So Cordy,
the percentage rates are crazy.
So Cordy, tell me why you decided to go to a payday loan outfit.
Well, I needed money. I'm a home health therapist. So, and I work per visit, so sometimes my caseload's high and sometimes it's not. So I just needed money real quick, and with nobody really hassling me about it. And they're more than willing to give you money. So that's the route that I chose.
All right.
Well, I probably won't do that again. The percentage rates are high. I recommend going to your bank or whatever, but
okay.
That's what happened to me.
All right. Well, good luck to you, and I hope you were able to avoid falling deeper into debt with those guys. So thank you for your call. So let me go back to our experts, our journalists who have been covering this issue. Forrest, you are writing in the current issue of Texas Observer that you could go to jail if you don't pay your payday loan payments.
Yeah. I mean, what we found is that in some jurisdictions, courts and district attorney offices are acting as a debt collect collection agencies and using the penalty of the law, the threat of the penalty of the law, and sometimes actual jail time to enforce the collection of payday loans using parts of our criminal statutes that deal with hot checks and theft of check. Even though there's another part of our law in the Texas Finance Code that prohibits payday and auto title lenders from even threatening criminal actions. And there's just kind of a disconnect from some of these, from the criminal justice system and then whatever sort of sparse regulatory oversight that we have for the payday loan industry.
And you're right that Bexar County, where San Antonio is located, is particularly aggressive in filing criminal complaints from payday lenders.
They were. Now they say that they've backed off because the payday lender that was extremely active in filing criminal complaints for whatever reason has stopped, and the regulator sort of stepped in and told one company it needed to cease and desist. Now the Office of Credit Consumer Commissioner, that has oversight over the industry, says it cannot tell the courts or the DAs anything, but they can go to their regulated entities, the payday lenders, and say, look, here's what the statute says. You cannot even threaten criminal action, and they can get them to back off on a case-by-case basis. So that seems to be what has happened in Bexar County.
Paul Keel, you write for ProPublica. You've written about whack-a-mole, how some states have put regulations in place to crack down on payday lenders, but then they find new ways to get around them.
So what the piece does is kind of take a look around the country, including Texas. But there are states that, for instance, have gotten regulations or laws that focus specifically on payday lending. But it was against a backdrop of, laws that didn't, for instance, limit rates. So New Mexico is a really good example of this. There's a law that was passed in 2007 that limited, for instance, how they could roll these loans over. And immediately the industry was very frank about this, just switched to, quote-unquote, installment loans, just means that they're loans that are paid out over a number of months. But with the same type of rates, we're talking, 400 up to 800%. And there's a loan I talk about in the piece. That was for over 1,100% annual rate, which is about as high as you can find. And the Attorney General has brought some cases, basically charging that these are so outrageous as to be illegal. But there's still loans like this happening all over the place. And then you have places like Ohio, where not only the legislature passed a very clear law that limited payday loans. The payday industry then went to a ballot initiative process and, hoped the voters there would overrule it. They poured over $20 million into the effort, and then they lost spectacularly. And despite that, they used basically the same loophole that they've used in Texas.
Okay, Paul, we're going to go over that a little bit more and find out what's happening in Texas. But first, we've got to take a quick break. We want to hear more from our callers. Tell us about your payday loan experience. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about payday lenders. If you've ever taken out a payday loan, had a tough experience, you've had a great experience, we'd like to know about it. Crowdsource this story. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. With me to talk about payday loans, we've got two journalists who have been working on the story. Paul Keel, he's from ProPublica. That's an online public journalism project. Also, we've got DeForest Wilder. He's an editor and an ACE reporter over at the Texas Observer. So, Forrest, you've seen, you've written about in the past how the payday lenders in Texas have gotten around previous attempts to regulate them by kind of changing the names of certain financial instruments.
Right. Well, I mean, the first thing to note is in Texas, there really are no limits effectively on the fees that payday and title lenders can charge, and that's why we have APRs that are virtually they're unlimited and frequently are above 500%. APR, and there's not a whole lot of oversight. However, and that's at the state level. However, some cities have, most of the major cities in Texas, including San Antonio, city councils have moved to try to impose some limits at the city level for example, by limiting the size of the loans based on income or the number of times you can roll over, trying to get at the cycle of debt problem. What your caller talked about, how if she wanted to extend the loan another 2 weeks, they would tack on these extra fees in addition to the remaining balance, and that's kind of how people get into real trouble. But what the payday lenders have done in some cases is tweak their products just a bit. For example, by moving to an installment loan product that their lawyers tell them is not a deferred presentment transaction, which is the really jargony term that's a technical term for a payday loan, and therefore, because they're no longer a deferred presentment transaction, they're no longer a payday loan, they're not subject to these ordinances that are written in a way that is tailored for payday loans, and therefore they do not have, they believe, some of these companies, they don't have to comply with these city rules. And so this kind of the story of payday lending in Texas, and I think elsewhere as well, as Paul alluded to, is that this is an industry that is very fleet-footed and adept. It's evolving in order to stay one step ahead of the law and of regulators.
Okay, we're going to go to the phones. We're getting some calls in. The number is 614-8980. Let's go to Mark. Mark, you're on the air. Welcome to The Source. And Mark, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, go ahead, sir.
Well, why don't we hope? I know the payday loans are bad, but you know what you're signing for. And if the people would go to a bank, the bank's not going to give them. Most people payday loans are people who can't go to a bank. And you know what you're signing for. So don't complain after you sign that the payment's killing you when you are get that what it is.
Okay, Mark, we bring up a great point. Payday lending outfits are providing a service, and if they weren't providing a service that people needed, then they wouldn't be in existence. And maybe the government shouldn't play nanny in trying to protect people from a corporation that's willing to, charge them these outrageous interest rates. Paul, what do you have to say about that?
Well, I mean, we regulate financial products all the time. I mean, subprime mortgages most recently, and there are obviously lots of examples. So the question is whether this is something that should be regulated. And it's worth pointing out that other states that have very kind of strictly defined what is a payday loan. And, for instance, like in Oregon, there's very strict rules, and the APR works out to something a little over 100%. There are still payday loans in Oregon. They just are. There are much fewer lenders because it's not as profitable as it used to be, but it's still there. So that's one path people take, but that reform came with an interest rate cap of 36%, so they can't just switch these installment loans that we're talking about. And then with regard to, they provide a service that's not available elsewhere, I mean, there are, alternatives like credit unions, community banks, and stuff like that, but I think it's worth admitting that it is a hard problem. To give an example, like in England, the Archbishop there has tried to launch an effort for the Church of England to offer, kind of compete payday lenders out of business because it's been such a problem over there as well. But the question is, can you compete them out of business when they're everywhere and they're every street corner, they're advertising on the radio and billboards? Nothing is ever going to be as fast and as easy as getting a loan from one of these places.
And Forrest, you wanted to jump in on this?
Yeah, I would say, here's the amazing thing that I've found from talking to people is a lot of people are actually, I'm not saying everybody, and this is, I guess, supposing the level of anecdote, but from folks I've talked to, a lot of people know that it's a ripoff. They're desperate and they have no other choice. So the question is really, should these companies be allowed to charge a rate that is usurious? And the Texas Constitution actually prohibits usury. What's happened is that the industry and the courts, frankly, have allowed them to exploit a loophole and to get around our constitutional and statutory prohibition on usury. That is really, I think, the fundamental question here, and it's one that's political and it's moral, and it's not an easy one to solve, but I think it has to be part of the conversation.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Janie is joining us. Janie, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Great. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to share that here in San Antonio, there's a consortium of folks that are coming together, nonprofits and also banks, to talk about this issue and coming up with an alternative for the community. We at Action Texas are part of this consortium. The San Antonio Area Foundation is the convener of this consortium, United Way.
the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, San Antonio branch is part of it. We've had people there from churches represented. We've had a group of folks because we can see this as a problem that needs to be worked on. And so the idea then is that we, in Texas, our board has decided to go into the consumer lending. We have previously only been small business community lenders. And what that means is that we are going to be getting a license from the OCCC and to make loans up to $1,000 and to
Now, we're having some problems with Janie's phone line. Apologize for that. But she says that there are groups in San Antonio with the San Antonio Area Foundation and some other nonprofits coming together to provide an alternative to going to these outrageously expensive payday loan outfits. Is this something that's catching on across the country? Paul Keel from ProPublica?
Yeah, I think that's what I was trying to get at is there are, you know, alternatives like this out there. But you just get back to this problem of if there's, you know, a payday lender and auto title lender on every corner, and it sometimes can be hard to find out about these, you know, efforts, you know, put from community banks or credit unions or nonprofits. You get back to that central question, and actually just to put a number on what Forrest was saying earlier about people being desperate, the Pew Charitable Trust Foundation has done a lot of surveys, and basically what they found is that over a third of people told them that they would pay any rate. Because they're desperate and they need the money and they'll accept any rate for a loan. So that's
yeah. When you're in a real vulnerable position, you really can't think past today. It's really difficult.
Well, right. And again,
go ahead, Forrest.
Well, I was just to build on that point, which is that, and again, I mean, I'm glad we have there's data to back this up. But you know, what I've heard from folks is that. They're in a crisis situation. In a crisis mode, you're faced with a very narrow set of crummy choices, and so people make the decision sometimes with knowledge that it could turn out poorly, or at least they're paying a rate that is exorbitant because they don't see the alternative. The alternative is losing their home, getting evicted from their apartment, having their electricity shut off, not being able to pay their medical bills, and so. That's just the reality of the financial situation for a lot of folks.
Okay, back to the phones again. Corey is on the line. Corey, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I was just going to call and share my experience. I tried to take out a payday loan online, actually, and I was just merely searching my options, seeing what I could get, and I still have no idea how it happened, but even just by searching, the very next day I had $200 in my bank account and no idea how it got there, but then I had somehow not, you know, without signing anything, had gotten sucked into, $60 taken out every 2 weeks from my paycheck, and it just kept reoccurring. Like the caller said earlier, they wanted $260. You know, in full, and the $60 was just added on each time just to renew the finance.
So you did not knowingly take out a loan. You didn't give them
right.
You didn't give them your bank information?
I didn't. I think that I had given them, I can't remember, I'd given them something important that I guess
wow.
You know, could have been part of that. But
so what's happening now?
So about a year later, after they kept, you know, and like everyone was saying earlier, I was desperate at the time and I just needed the cash. Later on, after about a year of them doing that, you know, $1,000 plus for a $200 loan, they sent me an email saying, "Hey, so we just decided to give up on trying. You know, we appreciate your business. We took $60 out of every paycheck for the last year, so we'll just call it square."
Wow.
And that was it.
Okay, well, we're running out of time, so I'm going to get the other guy's reaction to this. But, Corey, thank you for calling in and sharing that story. Paul Keel from ProPublica, have you ever heard of something like this before?
Not quite like that, but, I mean, obviously, internet lending is a big thing, and I think it's actually worth mentioning that it's actually a way that payday executives have talked about getting around these the city ordinances that Forrest was talking about.
Well, and Forrest, have you ever heard a story like that before?
No, I have not.
Wow. Just me searching around, getting ready for the program here, I've got all these payday loans things popping up on my my windows as I was clicking around. So I better clean out my cash on my computer. But there that's so what about a federal solution? I mean, this is the interstate commerce. You know, why can't the Congress get involved?
Yeah, well, I mean, well, Dick Durbin from Illinois has had a bill for the last several years that would cap the rate at 36% nationally, and it's gone nowhere, frankly. Probably the best prospect for something like that is the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. They were actually specifically told by Congress to have, you know, this is something that they're looking at. And they actually did a great study that showed, you know, some of the problems with the repeated use. And, for instance, that three-quarters of payday lenders' fees came from borrowers who are taking out 11 or more loans in a year. So they're studying the issue. But the big but is they're not allowed to set a cap. That was actually in the bill that created them. So,
and we've also seen how the military, some of our servicemen, are very vulnerable.
Yeah, but I mean, actually, they did a story about how there's easy ways around that. The Pentagon did pass a rule that just very strictly limited payday loans, but it's very easy to get around that. So we found, you know, I think in San Antonio and other places in Texas, there actually hasn't been a reduction in payday loan stores right outside the base because they can just offer, you know, an installment loan and they still be, you know, in compliance with the law technically.
So they're playing a cat and mouse game, and the payday lenders, they're the cat.
Yeah, and they're pretty good at this. And basically what you have to do is, like, for instance, what happened in Texas and Arkansas, they had a very clear cap in the Constitution for 17%, but they still had to go through court, and finally the Supreme Court, you know, ruled against them, and then the Attorney General finally drew them out. But it was a 10-year process, essentially.
But it can be done. Well, thank you so much, Paul Keel of ProPublica, Forrest Wilder, editor for the Texas Observer. Thank you so much for joining us on The Source talking about payday loans. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're talking about problems with immunizations. Stay tuned.